All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, the talks between Narada and King Prachinabarhi. This is text number 6 this morning. Sakyaya. Indriya Ganna. Jnanam. Karma. Cha. Yatkitam Sakyas Tad Vittayaha Prana Pancha Vrittir Yatoragaha Sakaya Indriya Ganna Karma Chadyat Kitam Sakyastad Vrittaya Prana Puncha Vrittirya Toragaha Sakaya Indriya Gana Karma Chadyat Kitam Sakyastad Vittaya Prana Pancha Vittirya Toragaha Sakaya Indriya Gana Jnanam Karma Chadyat Kitam Sakyastad Vrittaya Prana Pancha Vrittirya Toragaha Sakyastat Vrittaya Prana Pancha Vrittirya Toragaha Sakaya Indriya Gana Jnana Karma Chayat Kritam Sakyastat Vrittaya Prana Ladies. Sakaya Indriya Gana Jnana Karma Chayat Kritam Sakyastha Vrittaya Prana Pancha Vrittirya Toragaha Sakaya. The male friends. Indriya Ganaha. The senses. Jnanam. Knowledge. Karma. Activity. Cha. also. Yat kritam, done by the senses. Sakyaha, female friends. Tat, of the senses. Vrittayaha, engagements. Pranaha, life air. Pancha vrittihi, having five processes. Yatta, like. Udagaha, the serpent. Translation. The five working senses and the five senses that acquire knowledge are all male friends of Paranjani. The living entity is assisted by these senses in acquiring knowledge and engaging in activity. The engagements of the senses are known as girlfriends, and the serpent, which was described as having five heads, is the life air acting within the five circulatory processes. Srila Prabhupada purport, Krishna Bahirmukha Anna Bhoga Vanchakai Nikatista Maya Tare Japatiya Dhare. It's from the Prema Vivarta. Because of his desire to enjoy the material world, the living entity is dressed with the material, gross and subtle bodies. Thus he is given a chance to enjoy the senses. The senses are therefore the instruments for enjoying the material world. Consequently, the senses have been described as friends. Sometimes, because of too much sinful activity, the living entity does not get a gross material, does not get a material gross body, but hovers, floats, suspended, but hovers on the subtle platform. This is called ghostly life, because of his not possessing a gross body. He creates a great deal of trouble in his subtle body. Thus, the presence of a ghost is horrible for those who are living in the gross body. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:10, utkramantam stitam vapi bunjanam vagunanvitam vimuddha nanupashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Excuse me. The living entities are merged into the air of life, which acts in different ways for circulation. There is prana, apana, Udana, Dhyana, and Samana. And because the life air functions in this fivefold way, it is compared to the five hooded serpent. The soul passes through the Kundalini chakra like a serpent crawling on the ground. The life air is compared to Uraga, the serpent. Panchavritti is the desire to to satisfy the senses attracted by the sense objects, namely form, taste, sound, smell, and touch. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarane Om Mangyanam Timurandasya Gurunjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Miritum Jainam Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Panchakalpa-tribhyas-chakrapa-sindhubhya-bacha-patitanam Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Mo-namaha. So a further explanation of the allegory of King Paranjana is being described here. So we have to go back a little bit to know what this verse is talking about. You recall that Narada Muni has described how the embodied soul, Paranjana, finally was wandering about the world looking for a place that looks nice, and finally finds this city of nine gates in Bharatvarsha, that is to say, the human body. And then on the outskirts of the city, there are nice gardens and parks. And in one of these parks, he finds a very beautiful young woman. I mentioned this a word, pramada. Pramada means, a young woman. Available maybe for sexual relationships. In Sanskrit there's a phrase pramada kanana. Kanana means a garden. So attached to the palace of the king there was the woman's quarters, and attached to that was a garden where the king would go and associate with the women. So that garden was called pramada kanana. So this is the sense here. So we'll go on in the 25th. He's in this garden. That's, this is the last text. While 25th chapter, while wandering here and there in that wonderful garden, King Paranjana suddenly came into contact with a very beautiful woman. This Pramada, who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. So here, Narada Muni is explaining. So these 10 servants are the 10 senses. That is to say, the five knowledge acquiring senses and the five senses that are instruments of action. This is all according to the Ayurvedic understanding. So therefore she has 10 male servants who are described as sakas, male friends. Prabhupada mentions in the purports they're considered by the soul to be, the conditioned soul to be friends, because by means of these senses one can enjoy it in the world. So they're friends of Paranjani. Paranjani, remember, is material intelligence. Intelligence directed towards sense gratification. So she had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. So he says here, these wives, who are the sakis, the girlfriends, are the engagements of the senses. So each one has hundreds of senses. Each sentence has many things to do. The whole world lies before us like a supermarket. There's so many things to enjoy here offered up for us. So he's described like this. So five of the senses, five servants, they gather knowledge, five work directly, and each has many sense objects that they would like to be engaged with. So therefore, these are her attendants. Then it goes on, the next verse says, the woman was protected on all sides by a five-hooded snake. This mentioned here now, the snake with five hoods or five heads, the cobra. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. In the purport to that verse, Prabhupada has already, everything Narada Muni is explaining in this chapter, Prabhupada has already explained in the purports to each verse. So again, in the 25th chapter, Prabhupada has said, the vital force of a living entity includes the five kinds of air working within the body. So that this, the five airs, actually there's ten, but five are grosser and five are more subtle. But the five are mentioned here, prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana. The prana is the air when we are breathing in. This is called prana. Apana is the air that's in the intestines and by which one is able to pass stool. Of course, sometimes air comes out to our embarrassment. Samana is the air in the stomach that helps in digestion. That sometimes comes out when we belch, you know, pop, after you eat. The air will come out. Then there's udana. That's udana is described as the air in the throat that goes upwards. I'm not quite sure. And vyana is the air that circulates throughout the rest of the body. This is all Ayurvedic medicine, and I really don't know much about all this stuff. And then there's five others that are subtler. But anyway, these five airs is the vital force. Prabhupada says here, the vital force is compared to a serpent because a serpent can live simply by drinking air. The vital force carried by the air is described as the pratihara in the verse in the 25th chapter. The serpent is a bodyguard, guarding. Without the vital force, one cannot live for a moment. Indeed, all the senses are working under the protection of the vital force. So Paranjani, her 10 male servants, are all being protected by this serpent. The woman who represents intelligence was searching after her husband. This indicates that intelligence cannot act without consciousness. So this is what's happening here. So now we can see the five working senses and the five senses that acquire knowledge are all male friends of Paranjani. You see that we have these ten indriya instruments. Here's the soul and the body. But what the body is really is just an organized arrangement of these ten instruments. Five are called gyan indriya, the instruments for acquiring knowledge. In other words, the world becomes present to us through these instruments. And they have their proper objects. So that the instruments, so that the objects, there's the instrument for hearing, and the object of that are different are sounds. Then there's the instruments for seeing. The object for hearing is shabda, sounds. For seeing is rupa, forms, colors, and so on. For tasting, rasa, flavors. For smelling, odors, fragrances. And for touching, we don't have a single word for the. Whether something, the objects are hot and cold, hard, soft, heavy, light, so on, rough, smooth, the instruments for the sense of, the object of the sense of touch, rather. So they each have their appropriate objects. Those are the knowledge-acquiring senses, so the world comes into us. Then the other ones, we are able to act in the world. So we have our instruments for making sound. That's the tongue. The tongue has double function. It belongs to both categories. It's there for tasting flavors, and it's also there for sound production. So it's both the karmendriya and the gyanendriya. It does the double duty. So the tongue is there for helping us make the sounds, our hands for manipulating objects, legs for walking around, and then also we have our instruments is for reproducing sexual organs, and also for passing waste. And those are considered to be the five karmendriya. So you can see if you take all these, what a body is just this organized arrangement of these instruments. These five working senses and five senses that acquire knowledge are male friends of Paranjani. The living entity is assisted by these senses in acquiring knowledge and engaging in activities. The engagement of the senses are known as girlfriends. And the serpent, which is described as having five heads, is the life air acting within the five circulatory processes. Prabhupada begins the purport through this verse by quoting from the book Prema Vivarta. What happened? Oh, here it is. Prema Vivarta is a Bengali book by Jagarananda Pandit, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this is his verse. Krishna bahir mukha hana boga vanchakare nikatishta maya tare japatiya dhare. As soon as one becomes inimical to Krishna, inimical means hostile. You have negative feelings toward Krishna. In Bengali, it's Krishna bahir mukha. One turns the face away from Krishna. Krishna Bahir Mukha, and desires sense gratification, Bhoga Vanchakari. He is immediately struck down by the illusory energy of the Lord, Maya. It says, Nikatashta Maya. Maya, who's standing nearby, Tare Japati Adare, knocks him down. That's what it says. So this says here, Krishna Bahir Mukha. So Prabhupada says, because of his desire to enjoy in the material world, the living entity is dressed with the material gross and subtle bodies. We put it on just like a suit, or like an actor may put on a costume. Because the spirit soul has its own spiritual body. The spirit soul is not formless. You may think of the soul as a kind of a brown thing, but it's not really. Not a tennis ball or anything. The soul actually has all spiritual senses for engaging in the service of Krishna. And that's what they are made for. And in the spiritual body, there's no difference. You say, here we have to make a distinction. Here's the soul, here's the gross body, here's the subtle body. But in the spiritual situation, there's no difference between the soul and the body, between the soul and the mind and the body. It is simply all the manifestation of the spirit soul. This is Krishna's body is that way, and also the spiritual body of the living entities in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, we are our bodies. But our bodies are not made of matter, they are made of what's described as concentrated Brahman. It's not a machine of pipes and tubes and pumps and all these things. So it's the same kind of a body that Krishna has. And that we are. And that body is simply the direct expression of our love for Krishna. The senses are all there for serving Krishna. So we are servants of Krishna. That's our dharma, our essential nature. So if we wish somehow or other Krishna Bahir Mukha, that desire is there, and Bhoga Vanchakare, one wants to enjoy, be the enjoyer, the center of enjoyment. In the spiritual world, Krishna is the center of enjoyment. But we wish to become the center of enjoyment. Me first. Well, what is Krishna to do for us now? We want to be what we are not. We are servants of Krishna, we want to be what we are not. So he gives us something we are not. That is to say, the material body. The gross and subtle material bodies. We are dressed in them. Gives us the body, and then also Maya has two functions. We are thrown into the world or put into the body, and then forget our real identity and identify with the body. Because that's what we want, to be something separate. We are constituted as linked to Krishna, so we do not wish to be what we are, so we simply require a false identity. Just like an actor has to put up makeup and a costume, sometimes very heavy makeup and costume. In the Frankenstein movie, Boris Karloff, they said he wore something like 4 to 5 kilograms of makeup and you know, devices to make him look like top big and so on. You know, this huge forehead and all this stuff. So you get covered with this junk, the material body, and we identify with it. So the actual spiritual senses become inactive, and our sensory powers are now expressed through this material senses. This is why this happens. So as and Krishna disappears from view, and here we are now in this material world. You'll notice, however, if you think about it a little bit, here we are, we find ourselves in our bodies now. We have no idea how we got here. We've come into this world somehow or other, and at some early age, maybe, I don't know, 2-3 years old, we kind of wake up and see that we are situated in a particular body, in a particular family. It's like we've been thrown into this middle of a play or a drama, because here are all these characters, the mother, the father, brothers and sisters, friends, and we are thrown with something here, and all this stuff is going on, and we have this part, our body is a boy or girl, and everything is already, things are, our role is assigned to us already. We may wonder, how did I get here? What am I doing here? Why am I in this body and not in that body? Well, this is our situation. We just get thrown in like this. Whoa, what am I... So here we are, and the senses are there for us to play with and have a good time. I'm the body. But of course, we don't know any. This body is given to us. We didn't make it. And it's quite a wonderful thing. I'm sitting in this body, and I have this desire. Let me raise my arm. I want to raise my arm, and by God, it goes up. If you ask me, how did you do that? I can't tell you. It just works in me. I want to raise my arm, and it goes up. I put food in my mouth, and somehow it digests. How did you do that? I want to run. How did you do that? I don't know. But it's quite an amazing. Hey, look what I have. But actually, if you think about it, we don't run it. We just have these different desires to do things, and somebody else or something else makes it happen for us. So we're thrown in, and we exercise our powers. So Prabhupada remarks, we are gifted with these senses, huh? Zinbigapta, huh? Sense gifted. We can do so many things now. Prabhupada mentions here, sometimes because of too much sinful activity, a living entity does not get a material gross body, but hovers on the subtle platform. This is called a ghost. So in that case, the friends are absent, and a ghost becomes very frustrated because the subtle body is there. And because the subtle body is there, is full of desires, and because there has been a sinful past, very strong and violent desires. And yet the ghost cannot do anything to satisfy them because no senses no Gyanendriya, no Karmendriya. And that's why the ghost causes trouble. First of all, ghosts slowly go crazy because of this frustration. And they try to enter into other bodies. When we say some people are ghostly haunted, it means that there's some ghost has come in and kind of latched onto their subtle body and try to take over and enjoy the other person's gross body. So ghosts are kind of like a parasite. It's like in our gross body there'll be some worm or something that gets in the stomach and lives off of our body, the parasite. So ghosts are kind of parasites on the subtle body. So Prabhupada mentions this situation. Eventually, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, they get another gross body. But ghosts are not a very favorable condition of life because of sinful people who commit suicide. Generally, they get ghostly bodies. For example, you want to destroy yourself. You can't really do that. But you get a very unfavorable situation. Also, sometimes it says that people who die while they're intoxicated, they will get a ghostly body. That's been mentioned also. So one should avoid drunk driving and so on. You get in a car wreck, and not only die in a car wreck, but you're intoxicated also. People who are habitually intoxication, that's really a kind of slow suicide anyway, because people wish to kill their consciousness. Then Prabhupada quotes here from the Bhagavad Gita, from the 15th chapter. In the 15th chapter there's a brief discussion of the situation of the living entity in the material world. Krishna says, starting with the text 7, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the 6 senses, which includes the mind. By the senses, here he's talking about the 5 knowledge acquiring senses plus the mind. But we mentioned before, the mind is often considered also a sense, an instrument, and it coordinates all the other senses. Then the text goes on. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas, scents, smells. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So there's something there. What's going, but the conception means the subtle body is still there. One leaves the body in a certain mentality with a certain idea of life and a certain way of enjoying, so then gets another body. It goes from one to the carried in a subtle way. It's like air carries a scent of a flower. The living entity thus taking another gross body obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. Here's the six senses. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. Because in the different kinds of bodies, you're equipped to enjoy different kinds of senses, the sense objects. The facility is there in all different ways. When you look at an animal, you should understand that this body is made for a certain kind of sense enjoyment. Well, cows can eat grass. We cannot. That's not a sense object for us, usually. No, I mean, people are eating wheatgrass juice all the time now. You know, this wheatgrass juice, people, it's a health thing. Normally people grind it up and extract the juice. It's all green. Well, I once knew some devotees who were a husband and wife. They were doing this wheatgrass. They would grow this grass and cut it and grind it. And after a while, it got to be so much work. And they would go out in the morning. I saw them. It was a horrible thing to see a human being doing this. I mean, I understand what the point was, but still it looked bad. They would just stand there and cut this, you know, they had these little boxes they grew it in, cut the grass and just put it in their mouths and chew it up, get the juice out and then spit it out. And so these human beings sound like cows, you know, chewing grass. Normally that's not a sense object. Well, you know, cows and goats and so on, they're sheep, they graze on grass. And then they get the right kind of tongue and the right kind of teeth. If you really like smells, there's nothing like being a dog, you know. A dog is swimming in a world of smells. His nose is down to the ground and is going on, snuffling along, sniffing. Huh? If you really want to taste, if you get into the tongue, the body to be in is a fish body. A fish, yeah, because Prabhupada remarks, first of all, they look like tongues, don't they? But they have the taste buds. You know, we have these taste buds for tasting, the little things on the tongue. We can't see them, but they're there. The fish have them on their body, on the outside, because they're in water. See, water, the element water has as its sense object that it carries is taste. If our mouth is not wet, we can't taste anything. So there has to be liquid in our mouths in order to taste. So if you're in the ocean or a pond, then you can taste very well. And you'll see these fish, they have this stripe down their sides that's full of taste buds. So the fish is all tongue. His tongue's not even... The Prophet said this. Fish life, fish is all tongue. So so that's why a fish, you know, just a little bit of blood in the water or something, you know, the sharks come immediately because it's all the flavors are there. Yeah. So that, anyway, it's all arranged, you know. You know, so you get a certain kind of mouth for enjoying, or maybe, you know, a schnauzer or whatever, you know. But think of what it's like to be a dog. You know, you go along and your teeth are in front of your eyes. It's really a strange arrangement. And then that big tongue hanging out. You look at a dog and say, who is this person? What are they into? And of course, the sense of touch, you know, especially like cats and things, you have hair, so many hairs all over the body, you could really get into the sense of touch. So anyway, you get the right kind of senses. Because the skin is a sense of touch, but actually it's the hair that's also part of the perception of touch. Anyway, different animals, they specialize in different senses and sense objects and so on like that. So he says, you take another gross body and you get the right kind of ear or eye and tongue, nose, snout, and whatever. So this way. And then Krishna says this, those who are vimudha, those who are foolish, they can't understand this, how a living entity gives up the body, lives in the body, enjoys in the body, under the modes of nature. But he says, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha, those who have Jnana Chakshusha, the eyes that are trained in knowledge, you can see. This is a very common phenomenon. You know, you may be walking by a mountain and you just see a pile of rocks. But somebody who's been trained in the science of geology, was studied, he sees a whole history of, you know, millions of years looking at that same bunch of rocks. Because his eyes are trained in knowledge. Or you may look at a medical x-ray that's been taken in a hospital. You can see some bones, some shapes, but not much. It's all cloudy, but a physician who's been trained, he can see so many things. So in order to see, you have to have jnana chakshusha. You have to have eyes trained in knowledge. So that's from the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says, the endeavoring transcendentalist, the yogi who is engaged in a process, who are situated in self-realization, they can see very clearly. Once you become a little detached from the body, then you can start to see what's actually happening. Those people who identify with the body, they have no idea. They're just so... you're acting in a particular situation and you forget who you are, as though an actor in a stage play somehow or other thought he was really Hamlet or whatever, identified with the part so much, forgot who he really was, forgot he was pretending. So all the living entities, they are forgetful. Krishna causes them to forget. As soon as you remember, you can remember and start to gain knowledge when one becomes free. The more we become free from sense gratification. So here's two problems with sense gratification. One, it causes one to identify more and more with the material body and therefore causes suffering. Krishna says this in the fifth chapter, Yehi samsparsaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evacha. Those pleasures which arise from the contact between the senses and the objects are in fact the cause of all suffering. We think we bring the senses into contact with the object, we feel pleasure, we think, that's great, this is happiness. Krishna is saying, no, just the opposite. It's dukkha yolaya evate. That's the cause of suffering. Because we simply identify more and more with the body, and then we have to experience what is happening in the body as if it is happening to us. So that's the first problem of sense gratification. The second problem of sense gratification is sense gratification makes us stupid. As it says here, vimuddha, people become fools. I mean, look, we should understand stupidity. We all know this body is temporary. We all know it grows old. We all know it becomes diseased. We all know it dies. We all know the course of material life is just terrible. How can we enjoy in this world? This is how. You become stupid. You have to be stupid. Because we have ways to make ourselves stupid. We go to the cinema and we see a movie, and there's a nice young man and a beautiful young girl, and they meet each other, they meet cute, as they say in Hollywood, and they want to come together, but then there's some obstacle, there's some misunderstanding. They're separated. And so there's some plot. And finally the obstacles go away and they get together. And then the movie ends, right? They live happily ever after. Right? The music comes up, and they're holding hands, everyone's happy. They've come together, now life is wonderful. The end, right? No, keep the cameras going. Come on. Let this go. Keep it going and you see what happens for 50 years, 60 years out, huh? So we make ourselves stupid. We have all kinds of things to keep ourselves. Because so people need to be stupid in order to think that this material world is a place to enjoy in. So we have all our industries of illusion. People think when they're young that old age happens to other people, that other species who are old somehow or other, I'm so special, I'm so wonderful, that it's not going to happen to me. I had this a little while ago, a college student, a young lady, came to talk to me about Krishna consciousness. She was doing some paper. So I was explaining to her about birth, death, old age, and disease, and she told me that she did not think she was going to die. She thought that. And, you know, by the time it became an issue for her, the problem will have been solved. Really what happened is she had this idea that somehow or other, I'm so wonderful, I'm so special, that it can't possibly happen to me. But people think like this all the time. It's said that when soldiers go into a battle, they feel sorry for the people around them because they're going to die. But somehow they think that they learn after a while, of course. And after they learn that, then they're not much good for combat anymore. Huh? That's why in warfare, most people who are soldiers, if they're not really kshatriyas, they're only good for a few weeks, and then they're not physical casualties, they're psychological casualties. But war is only ordinary life speeded up. So this is what the material world is really like. You see, if we look at the world the way it really is, most people cannot stand it. You'll go crazy. So we have our illusions to make this world a nice place. We have all our illusions. People who don't have the illusions, well, usually what they do, they drink, they find some way to kill their consciousness. Otherwise, everybody's got some illusion, some immortality project, something like that. That's why Pascal, the French philosopher, he said that human beings are so necessarily mad. By mad he means insane. Human beings are so necessarily mad that not to be mad is another form of madness. So you have... If we are actually Krishna conscious, or on the way to Krishna consciousness, and do not identify ourselves with the material body, and engage in Krishna service and have some experience of spiritual life, then you can afford to be realistic. Because a devotee ultimately is someone who has no investment in this world for happiness. Our happiness, our future, our well-being does not depend upon the course of material nature. Therefore, you can look at it as it is. But those people who identify with the material body and have therefore placed their happiness in material nature are doomed to horrible suffering. Because we know what happens to material nature. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate, Krishna says, again and again they're born, again and again destroyed, again and again born, again and again destroyed. This is not nice. This is our embodied condition. Those who are wise, they can see this. But one has to be detached from material enjoyment and finally become free from the enjoying spirit. One does that when one finds actually another source of relationships and happiness which doesn't depend upon the course of material nature. That's what we mean by Krishna consciousness. The relationship with Krishna is there, and when it's revived, we discover, oh, this is our real life. Not this pretend life in the material world. That's not the real thing. Okay, I should stop. Any questions or comments about this? Yes, in the back.
I asked many times myself this question, why I guess this was the tenant, or how is it that I am in this situation or that, so if some my desire, then we get this parent, so then I think there is a different family, or this controlled by the emotions.
Well, two things. See, how did I end up in this body with these parents and everything? Well, that's what we are attracted to. It's two things: what I desire, combined with what I deserve. So, Krishna, the Super Soul, fulfills the desires of the living entity, wants to enjoy in a certain way, but maybe not so much as we would want, but as much as we deserve, according to our past good or bad deeds. So to be born in one family can be quite nice, And to be born in another family can be quite hellish. And how does it happen? Is it just an accident? No. It's not. So it's said that one result of bad karma is to be born in a low and degraded family, and one result of good karma is to be born in a elevated, prosperous, or spiritual family. It's our karma. Our past good and bad deeds and our desires. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
Krishna in this one verse of Bhagavad Gita, he includes the mind to the senses.
Yeah.
So we know that the functions of the mind are feeling, feeling,
and thinking.
And thinking. Mm-hmm. So it would be because your mind feels something that you sense, or how is
it? Yeah, because the mind is very closely connected with the senses. The subtle body itself also has, as part of it, or as part of the mind, are the sensory powers. And the ability to feel means not only to experience sense perceptions, but also to be like them or dislike them, to accept and reject them. And to think about them, and to thinking, feeling, and willing to direct the senses to do this or to do that. So it's kind of if you think of a wheel as a hub in the center, and then the spokes go out. So the senses are like the spokes, and the mind is the hub, which coordinates and brings the senses together. I mean, somehow, just for example, we're sitting in a room right now, and we're getting messages from our eyes, and from our ears, and from all the different senses. And somehow they're put together and coordinated, so we get one picture, one unified idea of the room that we're in. But something unifies the input of the different senses and mixes them together in the right way. And that's the mind. So if we think of the term indriya, the word the senses is, the word sense is, because we're talking about karmendriya, we use the word sense only for the knowledge acquiring senses. But if you use the word instrument, then you can understand how that all of the instruments for receiving knowledge, the instruments for acting on the world, the instruments of action. And then the mind is also another kind of instrument for coordinating and directing these two. And also the mind has it has in it a kind of a gestalt, you know, how everything fits together, puts it all together according to a certain way. There may be different ways, subtle ways of different ways of seeing things, because we don't just see; we always see something as we recognize things for what they are. And people from different cultures have different ways of doing that. That whole way of putting it all together in a certain manner, by which this all takes place in the mind. That's some of the functions of the mind. Okay.
So if somebody, like we say, somebody is crazy or insane, he's mad, his mind is disturbed. Does it mean that he cannot really
Yeah, well, I guess there's different ways of being disturbed in the mind. Usually this disturbance of the mind, it consists of both seeing the world in such a way that is so different from everybody else around you that you cannot function. It's extremely different. You'll see things that nobody else sees, hear things that nobody else hears. Or take what you see and hear and just misinterpret it in such a way. So, of course, one way of being crazy is to think that everybody, you see two people talking and you think they're talking about you. And they're saying something nasty. And every time you see, you always think, you know, the paranoia, for example. So even though you see what everybody else sees, you put a meaning on it that's not borne out by the facts, and nobody can convince you that you're wrong. So there's some disturbance. And you also, when you act in the world, also that is not productive at all. Yeah, so that's a mental disturbance. Mm-hmm. The subtle body, just as the gross body can break down and not work very well, so the subtle body can break down and not work. We're not that body either. It's more, we take it more personally, but there's some mental disturbance. But Prabhupada does write that even a mentally disturbed person can be cured by treatment of transcendental sound. If somebody is mentally disturbed, but somehow or other can still manage to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with some attention. Some people can't, but they can. They can. It'll actually help a lot. Mental disturbances. Sometimes this prophet described them as a vata disease, a disease of the air. Some derangement of the bodily airs cause it. And then some others are the other thing that's involved are ghosts. So in Ayurvedic, sometimes psychiatry is bhuta vidya. The knowledge of ghosts. Sometimes you have to deal with that also. Parasites. Maybe there's first a disturbance of the airs, then the ghost comes. So I don't know. I don't know what the relationship. But those two things have been mentioned by Prabhupada as being causes of mental disturbance. You notice the mental disturbance is on the increase. Although I think a lot of mental disturbance is quite sane, in the sense that sometimes you find people who are depressed and you find out about their lives. They'd be crazy if they weren't depressed, because their lives are just very, everything around them is very depressing. Why is it mental illness? They don't have the necessary madness, you know. So that what is sometimes described as mental illness may just be a normal reaction. If people are disturbed, maybe because everybody else around them is in fact quite disturbing. Hey, we should stop. Thank you very much.